You're listening to the Culture Builders Podcast, where we share thoughts, tools, and tips for leaders to improve relationships, raise standards, and grow personally. We're all about working to do better and to be better. You can learn more at thriveonchallenge.com. 7 ways to support your reserves. In Training Soccer Champions, UNC's soccer coach Anson Dorrance tells the story of Tracy Bates. Tracy played on the national team for some time as a starter, but the year before the World Cup, she lost her spot to a new player named Christine Lilly. One night, Dorrance was heading out for a run and heard Tracy on the hotel phone, crying to her mother. While Dorrance couldn't hear Tracy's mother, it was clear to him that her mother was upset that Tracy had lost her spot. He heard Tracy say, "No, I am working hard, and coach isn't mad at me. Don't you understand? Christine is just better than I am, and she deserves her spot." As Dorrance's story shows, we will never make it painless for the reserve player who sacrifices so much and works so hard only to have to watch and cheer from the sideline. But we can create a culture in which they understand, accept, and appreciate their role, a culture in which they feel valued. But it all starts with us. Be intentional. You know, most of your team's success will come down to how you have prepared them, not your game time decisions. And regardless of your sport, on game day, playing time is the area in which you as a coach have the biggest influence on the outcome. So who starts? When do you sub? How do you rotate players? With deciding who plays and who doesn't, we face a lot of challenges. Your most talented or skilled players rarely make your best lineup. Statistics are being used more and more to determine the best lineup, depth chart, or side. But even they fail to address other important factors like, do you reward a player's effort and attitude with playing time? How long do you stand by a player who is in a rut before you give someone else a chance? Coaches could argue about the answers to these questions till the grave, but what is equally as important and what is discussed infrequently is what you should do after you decide who will play. As coaches, we need to start focusing more on how we can support our reserves in their current role. 7 ways to support your reserves. Number 1, language. Stop calling or referring your players as bench or role players. Nobody wants to be a bench player and everyone is a role player. They all have roles. Instead, use the term reserve player or non-starter. Number 2, culture. Does your culture see the players as people or just athletes? In my article, 3 Reasons You Need to Care More for Your Reserves, I tell the story of Alabama softball coaches, Coach Murphy, who invested and helping his players grow as people, not just athletes. His reserve catcher, Jordan, described the team culture in this way. There was no way you could play there and not be a better person. Number 3, clear role. Everyone needs to clearly understand their role in the team and how it is important to the overall success of the team. Coaches far too often assume that a player knows their role and they end up avoiding these hard, honest conversations. It is the role of the coach to clearly communicate the role to the player, and to continuously do so throughout the season to everyone within the program. Clarify their role when it comes to the minutes they will play, the shots they will take, and everything else you expect from them. Jocko Willink, former Navy SEAL commander, calls it leading down the chain. He says it's paramount that senior leaders explain to junior leaders and troops executing the mission how their role contributes to big picture success. This is not intuitive and never as obvious to the rank and file employees as leaders might assume. Leaders must continuously, routinely communicate with their team members to help them understand their role in the overall mission. When it comes to games, continuously look for ways to expand their role, influence beyond just cheering. You can't give them more playing time and find areas where you can give them more responsibility and ownership. Give them a voice in team meetings, film study, and halftime discussions are just some areas where they can feel valued. Opportunity. Especially early in the season, every player should have an opportunity and believe they have an opportunity to compete for a starting role. Be very intentional in how you select your practice teams early in the season so as to give everyone a fair chance to prove themselves. Why is this important? So that when you select your starters, everyone feels they had an opportunity and your starters won't feel entitled to their position. Not only will this create a better culture, but it will help create a more competitive practice. At some stage, you may feel it is important to have a set lineup and stand by certain players, even when they are struggling in a game or over the course of a few games. but everyone should feel as if they had their time and their chance. Before every game, a player should understand when they had their opportunity for playing time and when it will come. Honest conversations must be had. If they are only going in when the game is clearly won, then they should know that beforehand. If they are only going in as certain players are hurt, penalized, such as foul trouble, flags, or cards, or playing poorly, then they deserve to know that as well. Number 5, path to mastery. Along with autonomy and purpose, path to mastery is the third key ingredient that researchers have identified for intrinsic motivation. People will struggle to show up every day if they feel it is not helping them grow as a player and a person. If they can see that there is a path to development laid out for them, and the coaching staff is invested in their continued growth, they will become more motivated. As often as possible, avoid designating reserves as the water boy, rebounder, ball girl, or practice cheerleader. Avoid letting players stand along the sideline as much as possible. I used to laugh when I would hear football coaches complain about their reserves' attitudes, but when I would observe their practices, the reserves were expected to do all the required conditioning only to stand on the sideline in the freezing cold for hours during the team's practices. Feeling and knowing that they are improving largely motivates players. Don't deprive them of that. Number 6, appreciate. Everyone should feel equally valued and cared for. In fact, we should expend more energy and effort to appreciate our reserves. In front of 10,000 of fans in 2015 at Ohio State's national championship celebration, Urban Meyer stepped up to the podium, and the first player he acknowledged was not the starting quarterback. In fact, it wasn't any starter on the team. He called up and spoke about reserve Nick Sarek and the selfless sacrifice he made for the team, giving up his scholarship to another player because Nick's parents could afford to pay tuition at Ohio State. Alabama Jordan Patterson recalled that one of her most memorable moments in her collegiate career was when Coach Patrick Murphy started his speech at the national championship ring ceremony by looking at Jordan and saying, "Your ring is just as important as Kelsey Dunn's ring." Kelsey was their star pitcher. Appreciate your reserves in little moments, but don't forget to do it in the big moments as well. Number 7, empathy. A lot of coaches find it difficult to empathize with the struggle and challenges of being a reserve due to the fact that many coaches were the star or key players for their team. For an athlete, it's not easy to accept the possibility that someone else may be a better player. It's hard to sit on the end of the bench and say, "Stay ready." It's hard to face parents, fans, and friends after games when they haven't played a single minute, and these people do not hesitate to share their opinions on why they should be playing more. Keeping a great attitude, working hard, respecting your teammates, and appreciating the opportunities you do have is not easy when you have to sit and watch every game. Think of it this way. Can you imagine showing up for work every day and not collecting a paycheck? Would you still work hard and have a great attitude if you were told that you might get paid later down the road, but there were no guarantees? Coaches, we need to do a better job in this area of playing time. We've got to do a better job communicating playing time. We've got to do a better job of communicating how we determine playing time. And we need to do a better job supporting players within their roles. That's why I released the Playing Time System training course. It helps you to proactively address the number one source of team conflict, which is playing time. It gives you a bunch of strategies to address those playing time issues, team activities, coaching tools, team processes, and different team procedures. You can buy the course by going to thriveonchallenge.com. There's a link there to all my courses, or there's also a link in the details of this episode to check out the Playing Time System training course.